Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I'm Chrissy Crash, a former smoker, drinker, fast food eater, unhappy bartender, transformed into a roller derby athlete, runner, and fitness coach. Each week, I'll bring you an insightful guest or lesson learned from my own perfectly imperfect life to help you uncover how to create more love, light, joy, and health in your everyday experience despite the chaos and challenges. I believe that life is a contact sport. Let the games begin. This episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast is brought to you by A Crash Course in Transformation. If you want to get fitter, faster, stronger, leaner, happier, more organized, and just have a super badass life, then A Crash Course in Transformation is for you. Through customized workouts, nutrition education, one-on-one coaching, and a badass community, we help you create the life that you love and get on the path to sustainable living in just 12 weeks. Click the link in the show notes to join us or go to chrissycrash.com. What's up, my friends? Chrissy Crash here. Welcome to another episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast. And another episode of Study, Practice, and Teach. I am very excited for us to be doing this episode. The whole purpose of Study, Practice, and Teach is I really believe that if there's something that you've learned in your life, you know, we've really studied it and we've done enough practice to make it part of our lives. Eventually, if we teach it, that teaching process is what helps us solidify this learning for ourselves. And so I am so excited to have Wendy Morris on, who has had an amazing transformation. And I'm just excited for her to share about her journey along the way. You know, Wendy, I have watched you go through ups and downs and just be so freaking persistent and willing to show up. And it's been so amazing. So I'm so excited for you to get to share a little bit. So thank you for doing this. And just to start things off, let's talk a little bit about where you were in the beginning. Like when you first started working on this stuff, like what were you struggling with? How did it negatively impact your life? Like, was it mental, physical, emotional? Like paint us like a picture of where you were at in the beginning of this whole journey.
Yeah. So I had, you know, it's kind of a blur. Time is funny, but I had been in the UK and I lost a bunch of weight and then was running a lot. And then came home, not really planned out to come back to the US. And while I was literally in the air, my fiance was cheating on me. And 7 days after landing, it like all came out in the wash. Mm-hmm. And then just things started unraveling after that. Like all of my good habits were gone. Every time I tried to go for a run, I'd burst into tears. Every time I'd come home from when I was in the service or living out of state, I never reconnected with friends. And so it was still kind of that same thing. And then my grandmother suddenly passed away. And then my mom had a big major surgery and then a stroke and then a heart attack. And then she died. And that was over a couple of years. It wasn't all that fast. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, my oldest daughter, and I honestly can't remember, but she had a miscarriage and got mono. And I can't remember which came first, but it was very close together. And she wasn't involved in a domestic violence relationship. It was just this big mess. And so I was doing all of that and not taking care of myself again and got fat again. So I met this lady here local and reached out to her and just poured my heart out to her. And, you know, she was like, well, here, try these things. But not that she wasn't a horrible human being, we just didn't connect. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't successful in that, but I'd learned some good things. I just wasn't very successful. Yeah. And then, so then my daughter and I, and then she had a baby. And then, you know, we got back on our feet after my mom died and we were both able then to finally get our own homes. And in between all that somewhere, I keep telling people, I don't know who stalked who, me stalked you or you stalked me, but somehow we found each other.
Yeah.
And through roller derby somewhere. And I thought I have nothing else to lose. Like, and here, at least this was people, because by then I was skating again.
Yeah.
And by again, I mean, I skated as a child. I hadn't played roller derby before. So this is my first time in roller derby, but it just was like, here's some people that do the same sport as me. I'd given up on running, maybe, just maybe. And so I did the 7-day free trial thingy. and then tried it out on my own, and then admitted defeat and came to you because I just was feeling lousy. Like, I've never been, well, I shouldn't say never. I don't have chronic clinical depression. I've had episodic things, but I just wasn't getting out. I wasn't taking care of myself, putting everybody first.
Right. Sounds like you were just super, like, you were overweight, you were depressed, unhappy, lonely. Like, it was all kind of piling up on itself. And I remember you saying too that, like, even things like walking was hurting, and it was just this part that was like no more. And then we got in touch, which was freaking awesome. I think maybe I stalked you. I feel like maybe we may have been mutually stalking each other. And so as you joined the program, like, what modules was it? Like, what were the things that started to pull you out of that?
So in the first one with KCIT, there's module two, it's your relationship with you. And some of the gals in the group call were in this in this homework, and we all like totally get it, because you write a letter to yourself for giving yourself for being a dumb dumb and for giving yourself for doing all these bad things to yourself, like, you know, not taking care of yourself. And so it gave me, and I'd never done that before. And then really looking at how I got there, how I got to that point. And sorry, when I worked so hard to lose that weight, and can look back at pictures and see how happy I was and how active I was, and then so quickly it was just gone. Right. And I really tied it, but I tied it all into the happiness, all into being smaller. And really, you can be happy at any size. And so it really gave me an opportunity to forgive myself and clear that out and get rid of the junk. And then when I did Thrive, again, it was module two, it's called Healing Old Wounds. And that was where I was able to gain control over emotional eating. And I think it's important for people to know that, like, I'm still human, and like, I have control over emotional eating. And so, like, now when I get to that point, I'll be like, okay, you don't have to go eat your feelings. But then sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to eat my feelings, but I don't pig out. I just, like, I'll have a piece of chocolate and I'll be like, okay, I feel better and I can move on.
Yeah. Or it's like eating your feel. Like, that's the thing, right? Is like, food can be a tool for coping with emotions, but if it's your only tool, then it's a problem. But it's like, if it has a tool. And so you feel like you learned a lot of different ways of then, like, dealing with it instead of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, I haven't heard you say it in a while, but one of my favorite things you say is just eat the fucking cupcake. And so, sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, no, that doesn't fit my goals. Oh, just fucking eat it and be done with it. And
but the don't other have thing guilt I, around it. Just fucking eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, I do it a lot. I don't even think about it anymore, but I'll be like, oh, I would really love some pizza. Like, pizza, not the pizza that we can make that's all healthy and stuff, but like just gross pizza. And then I'll be like, I don't really want to do that. And then I'll wait a while. Then, you know, I wait that 7 days. And if in 7 days I still want whatever it was that I wanted, I'll go treat myself. But I've planned it and I've thought about it and I'm doing it for the right reasons. And yeah, so.
It's so great, right? When you step back and you have that mindfulness and that. And when you do have those other tools, right, of like being able to listen to yourself and like, what do I really need right now? Is that really going to make me feel better? Is there something else? Do I need to talk to a friend? Do I need to go take a nap? Right. So what did you like specifically learn that you've like applied to your life? Like, what are some of the key things that you took out of those two modules or just sort of common themes that you feel like you now use to like the ways you treat yourself or the way you see yourself?
You know, that's a really good question. And the way I've you know, made my notes around it is, like, in the program, there's a lot of journaling encouragement and like a lot of journaling encouragement. And I just don't journal really, but I do write down my feelings. It's more like I'm talking to the person that might be frustrating me right now, instead of like, I don't call it journaling, but it's probably what it is.
I'm like, that's journaling, babe. It's okay. Yeah. I don't journal. I just write my feelings.
Yeah, I just write my feelings down. Whatever.
And I talk to myself a lot. Gosh, right before I moved over here, so it's been about a year and a half, I was just needing a little bit of extra. So I wrote myself, and I had this little collage of all these post-its that said, I am brave. I am enough. Your ass is amazing. Because it's big, but I do like my ass. But
yeah,
you know, so just all these little things. And I saw it every morning when I was getting ready for my day. And it wasn't like I'd ever sat in the mirror every day and gone, oh, you fat, disgusting pig. You're this, you're that, all this negative stuff. But everyone, I would do this. I mean, nobody can see me, but I would go, oh, you're kind of cute. And make this horrible face at myself.
Make a face. Yeah.
And then now I just go, yeah, you look cute today. And that's it. Like, I don't make a face at myself anymore. And so it's just those reminders that, again, that you can be happy and love yourself. And love the skin that you're in right now and still want to change it. And that's okay. Like,
I know a big thing for you is really that you deserve to be treated with respect and kindness, like regardless of the number on the scale, right? Like it was that loving yourself first, because like you couldn't just keep like beating yourself up about this stuff.
Yeah. And I was letting other people, like I had a friend in the UK who I thought was a good friend. And she was also a personal trainer but I'd lost all my weight and started running before I met her. Mm-hmm. And then I hadn't even gained that much weight back. I'd only been gone a year and I hadn't even gained that much back. And the way she treated me because I'd gained some weight was appalling. And I could not believe that this person would do that. And it was all about, she was projecting onto me how she responds to stress and things. And when this happened to me, this is how I handled it. And you need to stop crying and you need to stop doing this. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I'm allowed to feel this way. I'm allowed to cry. I'm allowed to take whatever time I need, get back to where I need to be. And I know I'll get there, and I'm there emotionally and mentally. And my daughter reminds me all the time. Like, we went Sunday to a Celtic festival. So I was out walking all day long. And even though I'm heavy again, I physically feel so much better. It doesn't hurt to do those things, where before I would have been just like, oh, Jackson, go play and leave me alone. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. I was in zero pain.
You're so much stronger.
Yeah. And yes, thank you. And doing things that I didn't even know I wanted to do, and I'm not going to say not worrying about judgment, because I still do a little, but it's that I think has more to do with just my generalized anxiety stuff.
Oh, and the fact that you're a human being, like, I mean, we all worry about it. So what struggles did you have? Like, what was your journey like transforming with this stuff? Like, what struggles did you have? What were like sort of the rough parts for you? Because obviously it wasn't just a magical, perfect journey, right?
Right. I think it took a lot to, I think the biggest struggle was believing what I was telling myself. So the things of, you are brave, you are strong, you are enough, you are beautiful, whatever I had on those pieces of paper, really believing those things. And some of them I could believe pretty easily, and some of them not so much. And then feeling in a safe place to open up to some people. And again, realized, you know, when I was opening up and doing the work on myself and sharing some things with people in my life, that, you know, I had to make some tough choices and cut some people out. And that was difficult. I mean, some of these people I had known my entire life and just couldn't take the negativity. And I mean, just the other day I looked at their Facebook page because, you know, curiosity, and it's just the negativity in there. And just like, how can you be happy with all that negative talk? And the thing that I think I'm going to use the word struggle, but it's not necessarily a struggle, is I still use the self-deprecating humor. And so, like, one of the guys, so I switched also from women's flat track derby to men's derby. And so I, like, this big guy, and I always say to him, oh, you look like you could use a break now for this drill. And then he thought that I goes down, and I meant, no, you're getting a break because you're working with me. And he was like, stop using self-deprecating humor. And I was like, okay. And then I caught myself at the Jello wrestling. I caught myself about to say something, and I was like, new. You can't say that. And I was even trying
awesome.
To wrestle. I was even trying to wrestle somebody super tiny because I thought it was funny. And then it ended up that my partner and I didn't get to wrestle for real because they had had an injury. And for different reasons, we were both a little nervous about the whole thing. And the video just cracks me up. But I was also the oldest one out there. I almost won, crowd favorite.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had a lot of fun. And I did not give a crap about what I looked like. And there were other people. And I totally get that other people, like, everybody has their thing. And so it just reinforced for me, like, when somebody who I look at and I think, oh, they have a nice body. And then they're telling me, oh, if I come out crying, don't worry about me. And I just looked at them and I was like, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And, but also it helped reinforce to me that everybody has it. Everybody struggles with it, but we are all beautiful still. Like,
yeah, we are. We're all worthy of love and we're all amazing humans. Right. And
yeah.
It's been so fun watching you go through that like process of really owning your own value. Which it's been so neat to see how you owning your own value has turned into you being willing to stand up for yourself, you being willing to, you know, what you will and won't tolerate from the people around you. Like, it's been so cool. So what do you feel like for you? Like, what were like the little wins along the way that really in that process of doing the practice part of study, practice, and teach, what did the little wins look like that were like sort of like the breadcrumbs of like, oh, I'm doing it. Oh, I'm making progress.
You know, it's the external validation that nobody needs, but actually that was what it was. And just yesterday we were doing a ribbon cutting for the store and, you know, we rebranded and I've done a lot of work on it, but I wasn't the only one that did a lot of work on it. But my co-person, she was like, no, you cut the ribbon. You've been doing all of this work. You deserve it. And I just thought, and I said to her, I said, thank you. I said, there's been so many times when I've done all of the work and then somebody else takes all the credit. I said, so I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity. So I think because I've done all those things and I love myself and I project that, it allows other people to love me as well.
Yes. Like you're letting them in because
yeah.
You believe you're worthy of it.
Yeah. And now I'm with people who, that they're supportive, they're encouraging, like we'll do, what's three things you did well at Derby tonight? And what's three things you have to work on rather than just telling me how crappy I am or what I need to do different or, you know, just being this real negative, we keep it positive and people are willing to help me improve because I recognize that I've gone from being a B level, a low B level skater for women's flat track to being a, I don't know what the heck I'm doing in men's derby. Like I'm completely clueless in a lot of things. And a majority of the people that I skate with, and these are people that have also skated for Team USA are willing to help me to improve because I'm there trying and I'm not, you know, being all grumpy because I can't do something. I'm still trying. I'm still laughing. I'm still smiling through it all. And even if I can't do it, I can't do it yet. So yeah. So those little things of, I mean, I could give you 100 examples of little things.
Sure. Sure. And how does it feel now? Like, what does it feel like to be at this point where like, you know, thinking about where you started and like where you are now, like how does it feel to be at ease? What areas of your life do you feel like are now on autopilot that seemed so hard before?
Oh, standing up for myself for sure. Like, and I don't even mean it like that. Just like advocating for myself. And I don't always do it perfectly, but you know, if I'm having some feelings about something and I share them. And when someone tries to take my feelings away or tell me that I've made them up or that I'm just wrong,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, those are my feelings. It's not me being dramatic. It's not me being whiny. It's my feelings. And really what this conversation is a way for us for like yesterday, this fella said, well, I'm not trying to gaslight you. And I was like, okay, I didn't mean to imply that I thought you were doing it on purpose.
I'm just telling you that you are. And you're telling me that I can control my feelings and that I've given them to myself. Yeah, they are mine, but I can't always control how I feel in certain situations. So I'm really just telling you how I'm feeling. And all you have to do is say, okay, like, that's it. Yeah. You don't have to do anything more. But instead it turned into this, and this is another thing, it turned into him reminding me how I'm not ready to skate against St. Louis gatekeepers. That's a no-brainer. I'm aware of that. And I could have been like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm shit. I'm crap. I should just quit Derby. But instead I'm like, dude, I know.
like it's okay. Well, and I want to point out, I love what you said too. And I think that this is something that like takes so much self-awareness is like in that moment of like this person not being willing to like validate like that your feelings are real. Like you didn't turn around and like go off on him or like lose it or like you're a fucking narcissist gaslighter. Voila. You were just like, look, these are my feelings. And like, I know like, you're allowed to have your viewpoint too, but I just want you to acknowledge that like this is what my viewpoint is and this is my reality. And it opens up such a space to build better relationships because you're sitting there being a stand for just having a really like open, honest conversation, which is great.
Yeah, and I it's funny how that happened because old me would have been like, okay, yeah, I'm done skating. I'm out.
Quit.
I mean, did I have some feelings of oh my gosh?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I was like, what am I, did I miss something? Like, why are you asking me this question? Why are you saying, so I messaged somebody else and I was like, did I miss something last night? Like, what's going on? And so, yeah, we got through it. And I mean, and I'm really happy that he's the type of person who's willing to have the conversations. And eventually he was like, oh, I can see why you're confused now. I can see why. I can see, just try to tell you all day. But yeah, the old me would have just backed down and been like, okay, yeah, I quit. And so that feels really good to just be able to be true to myself, be true to my likes, be true to what I want to do. And again, stand my ground because I want to go to St. Louis with my team and be helpful to my team. That doesn't mean I'm skating. I can be an asset to other people's lives if they would just let me and utilize my strengths. And not assume or presume that I'm thinking something that I'm not.
Sure. And open, clear communication is like the only way through it. Yeah. So if you were talking to someone struggling with, you know, really building confidence, being true to themselves, owning their space, like what would be like the five key things that you would share with them about changing it?
Okay, I'm going to read what I wrote because part of the assignment, listeners, is we write it out so we can think about it and then talk about it. And I really liked what I had to say. So in no particular order, you are enough. It is hard and scary, but so worth it. You can have all you want right now, just as you are. Everything takes work. You are worth the effort.
Yes, I love it. Wendy, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. It's been such a beautiful journey watching you grow. And I know that this is just the beginning. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be vulnerable and to share this stuff and putting the energy into reflecting what you've learned and being willing to come on here and like being willing to take up that much space that you're going to come on here and share all of this with all of these people that also really need to hear it, right? I guarantee you there's someone listening to this message right now that is like, holy shit. And your message is going to be the light bulb moment that they needed. So that's how we change the fucking world. And you are a part of that. So I just want to say thank you for taking the time to share with us. Thank you for taking the time to be on. For everyone who's listening, if you got something out of this, please screenshot the picture of this audio, tag me. We'll put Wendy's Instagram in the show notes as well. Please let us know what you got from it. Send it to a friend that needs to learn how to take up space and own who the fuck they are, because life is a contact sport and she who touches the most lives wins. So Wendy, thank you so much for taking the time. I just love you so much.
Thank you. I love you too. See you in June.
Yeah, see you next June for the retreat. Woo, woo, woo. All right, you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.